Talkback with Lance and Daniel from 6 p.m.
I was just about to start the show, and the phone died. I can't take WhatsApps. Okay,
come.
You talk first. I plug in the phone.
Okay. It's time for Talkback. This is the most listened to 1 hour daily show. We get some great guests, and it works when you take part, when you send in your suggestions, your opinions, your questions, your queries. And also, if you want to talk to us, we love it as well. So you have to talk to us or WhatsApp us. So it's all happening today, because today we want to talk about disputes on the road and what not to do. This is all in light of an accident where a driver sort of fought with an individual who shut his car door during a confrontation, and that resulted in some sort of minor injury on this other individual. And also, we had a pair of scissors involved too.
Yeah, and apparently, the individual that was charged had driven his car forward, even though the other individual, the other party, was standing in front of the car to stop him from leaving. And straight away, I flash back to that other incident where the cyclist
jumped on the other person's car and stayed on.
And that video circulated wildly.
And then the vehicle was on the move as well.
Yeah, and apparently that trying to stop another car with your body by standing in front of it might not be a good legal idea either.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's all these things like he was also handed, by the way, okay, we'll talk to you about the charge, okay? The individual was handed Sunny Tan Boon Heng was handed a jail term of 5 weeks as well as a driving ban of 6 months. He pleaded guilty to one count of causing hurt and one count of a rash act endangering the victim's safety. Apparently, a charge under the Protection from Harassment Act was entertained because he'd also used a rude gesture on the victim. So that was considered in the sentencing. So you see, if a driver is happily flinging words and gesticulating wildly on the roads, that can also factor into the charge. Let's talk. Head lawyer Gloria James Civetta is joining us from Gloria James Civetta Law Firm. Our topic today, and we want your suggestions and ideas, disputes on the road, what not to do.
Have your say. It's Talkback with Lance and Daniel. Call in 669-11938 or WhatsApp 963-11938.
Gloria, good to have you back on the show. Are you a driver, Gloria, by any chance?
No.
Not a driver, but you've had a lot of road
disputes.
Not a driver.
I'm happy to be chauffeured around, I would say.
It's always easier, no need to find parking.
Yes.
Somebody else has to worry about the traffic jam, not you. It's always easier, I also say.
I mean, if you look at the bright side of things, right? Because when you are in, say, in a taxi or you're being driven around by your husband to your destination, I mean, that's a moment of peace I enjoy.
I love it. I love it.
You can do
I don't
own.
Have to worry about who's cutting the lane, who's driving too fast.
And you can get some work done as well.
Yeah.
It is stressful driving, some people say. And maybe that's what leads to some of these. We hear about road rage.
Oh.
Yes.
We hear about, aggressive interactions. We see the video circulating on social media of lane cutting and honking and lights flashing and blah, blah, blah. When it comes to road disputes, legally speaking, Gloria, what are the absolute no-goes?
Okay. Firstly, I need to share that I have handled many of these cases. And, when you started, you explained about the Sunny Tan's case.
Yes.
I have seen worse cases than that.
Yes.
Yeah. So, when you mention about no-goes, so basically what you're talking about is what can you do and what can you not do?
Mm.
So when you look at the no-goes, I would say that, if someone is in a way enticing you, or you feel that someone has cut into your lane and you're getting very angry about that, first thing first is be careful of what your action is going to cause, because every reaction, there's consequences of an action, right? So typical scenarios I've seen is people looking at chasing the other party down or perhaps stopping the car, trying to block the other party from driving further, going to the door or maybe going to the window, knocking on it and then saying, please come out, that kind of gesturing. Sometimes I've had previous cases where the clients actually took an umbrella or maybe they had a tennis racket, or some other kinds of, you know, there was one who could be the cricket bat.
Oh,
yeah.
My.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when you have something like that, is that seen straight away as a weapon? Can you classify it as a weapon?
Yes, it is. Yeah, because at the end of the day, you're in a way causing the other party to be afraid of what's going to happen, the consequences. Mm. I had one other case where the client actually took the bicycle chain, and flunked it at the driver's side of the window that eventually caused the glass to shatter. So it depends, you know, at that point in time, I'm not sure why or how the person could have get so enraged for it to completely dominate your mind.
Yeah. But okay, you mentioned something interesting to me. So you say, like, if somebody is like banging on your window, demanding that you get out of the car. So if you have come into a little bit of a, not altercation, but a minor accident, obviously, you're going to get out of your car.
Yes.
And take photos and exchange contact information and do the right thing. But technically, are you saying that if you want to, you can stay in your car and you can't be forced out
you
of
should.
The car?
Yeah, you should. Because the right, the correct thing to do is call the police immediately. If you have your dash cam camera working, ensure that that's some footage being recorded, or alternatively have your own handphone out, because you need evidence, right? At the end of the day, you don't want to be in a situation where both of you are, you know, you coming up from your car, confronting the other party for confronting you, and then both of you are in the middle of road causing a scene and disrupting the traffic flow.
Right, right. Yeah? I thought that the best way to resolve this would just be two individuals, the ones who are driving, to move to the side.
Oh, for sure. That's step one.
Mm. So that's step one. So they have to come out to sort of gesture, we'll go over there, that sort of thing.
Actually, you can do it from inside the car.
From inside the car as well.
Right.
Yeah, I'm just wondering whether...
Can.
Okay, if you can do that, then that's highly recommended. That's what you should be doing.
Because it's
rather
also
than
a
come
danger
out of the
to other cars on the road. If two cars have bumped into each other, I'm saying bump, because I don't want anybody to have a real accident, but if sometimes a little love tap happens...
Yeah.
And then in the middle of the highway, they'll be walking around and hand-waving at each other and taking photos and yada, yada, yada. But the thing is, it's a danger and a risk to other motorists and to themselves as well.
Of course.
I guess some people might think that if you not getting out of your car means you might do a runner. You might try and run away from the situation. So
that's illegal as well, so don't worry.
Yeah, yeah. The good thing is nowadays people have got video cameras and they've got audio that they can show in court if something does get questioned. Yes, Gloria?
Yes. I mean, we as lawyers, we always ask that first, right? You know, can we view the dash cam footage? Because we want to see, you know, at the end of the day, who was the one that started the incident?
Mm.
Yeah.
If you are driving and someone cuts in and you honk quite heavily and the person gives you a rude gesture or yells a profanity, is that an offense in any way?
Rude gestures or profanity specifically?
Yeah, so the thing is, if it's a rude gesture, it's not something that is arrestable, but
it's not? It doesn't count as an assault of some kind?
No, so it depends. It depends what kind of rude gesture and whether it was, in a way, intimidating the other party, you know, because you need to be afraid, it can come across, just like in the Sunny Tan's case, right? It can come across of an offence under the Prevention of Harassment Act under POHA.
So if the gesture is one of those rude ones that people fling around, that's not the same as, for example, mimicking punching someone or running your fingers across your neck, for example.
I would say the one, running the fingers across the neck, seems that, you know, you are in a way threatening the other party. There's going to be some sort of threat to your life and limb, right?
Interesting. Okay, and so the cases that you've dealt with, Gloria, when it comes to some of these disputes, is it always between motorists and motorists? Have you seen it between motorists and pedestrian, for example?
Yes, I have seen that too.
Like what?
Yeah. You see, it has happened. the case that I had, two cases. One of them were between two cars, you know, trying to get the parking, you know, the parking space, right?
There's a rule. Come on. Everybody knows the rule.
Yes.
It's the one with the blinkers on gets it.
Yeah.
But despite that, you have that kind of situation. There's another situation where one pedestrian was trying to cross and felt that the driver didn't take into consideration that that person was walking behind the car.
Don't walk behind a parking car, I'm sorry. That's not a good idea.
Yeah. So in that kind of situation, started knocking, banging on the back of the car, you know, just inside, asking the driver to come out. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, we know that.
How did that turn out? I'm curious.
Because for that particular incident, it was an elderly person.
The pedestrian or the driver?
The pedestrian. Yeah. So even though that elderly person was knocking on the on the boot, right? What has happened was she in a way passed out. So my client, the driver, realized that the situation is very serious. Yeah. Oh. So did the right thing by calling the police and calling the ambulance to ensure that her safety comes first, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If that raises an interesting point. If a pedestrian or a cyclist hits your car, like physically hits your car, which does happen, you'll see it sometimes as well. Is that something that is legally actionable?
It is. It is still actionable. But we have to see whether it's an action where it falls under a criminal action or is it more of a civil action for personal injuries.
All right. Now, we know for this particular case, this recent case, with Sunny Tan Boon Heng, you know, brandishing a pair of scissors. He was handed a jail term of 5 weeks and a driving ban of 6 months. How bad can the jail term be? And the ban, could it go for life if you do something really, really violent?
Yeah, it can. Because I think that's some of the possibilities for some other offences, especially if it's a dangerous driving offence. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can go for life.
So in the scheme of things, when you hear about this kind of jail term, 5 weeks plus ban of 6 months, is that somewhere in the middle of the maximum charge that could have been handed out or meted out? Or is that on the conservative side of it?
You see, because he's got a driving ban of 6 months, right?
Yeah.
It allows him to get back on the road. Mm-hmm. If you're disqualified, you know, if the disqualification period is more than 12 months, you have to recede, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in a way, he's back on the road.
Let's talk about the do's and don'ts of things that can happen on the road. We're talking about getting into an altercation or disputes on the road, what not to do, not just between drivers. It could be between driver and pedestrian, driver and motorcyclist, driver and cyclist, and any of these factors as well. Some very, very fascinating things right now. For example, understanding things like root gestures. But what about like verbal insults, which Lance mentioned earlier on as well? You said the gesture has to resemble a threat of harm to the individual. Somebody has to feel fearful for it
yes,
to be
that's right.
What about the words? What if it's coarse language, which are, well-known bad expletive words, which don't necessarily intentionally direct harm, but just their very nature of how they're used can be perceived as quite threatening?
Yeah, it can be, because it would fall under poha, right? I give you an example. If you're going to be saying things like, say maybe in a dialect or whatever, you say, I'm going to hit you while raising a fist.
Right.
That shows there's an element of fear, right?
That's clear cut. But what if somebody goes on a diatribe of very common insults and verbal insults in different languages? They don't necessarily implicate...
It won't be enough.
It won't be enough?
It won't be enough, yes.
Okay.
Because he won't be able to meet the threshold, right? There's an element of fear, imminent harm.
Gloria, are you seeing more and more of these sorts of cases where people are getting more violent or maybe saying more explicit things to a fellow motorist or pedestrian? Are you seeing an uptick in cases?
Yes, I have. Yikes. Actually, I think every year we see at least about 8 to 10 cases.
And is it always about disputes, hot-headedness, or and violence?
I would say more of anger management.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, you know, some parties are in a hurry to do something, so they feel that they need to get to the destination, but it doesn't justify their action, right? Yeah, yeah? So, you know, even if you're in a hurry, you still have to be a good road user. You yeah. can't be putting others at risk, yeah?
True.
And so I have noticed most of the time, it's not a case of drink driving. It's more of the anger management. Getting to the destination is usually one of them. They're always in a hurry because they might have to pick up their child who's, you know, they are late from the childcare center, you know, right?
Yeah.
They impose a penalty and all that.
Right. Yeah.
So Gloria, if it is mm-hmm. the flashing of a certain digit of your hand, as mm-hmm. well as shouting expletives that might be insulting towards one's mother, perhaps, are these something that can be taken action against?
Very difficult because you have to cross the line to show fear of imminent harm. See, so I don't think so. Yeah, but
okay.
Yeah.
If it's maybe a mixture of both, so there is the hand gesture, there's some yelling, you know, some mm-hmm. profanity being yelled out. But also the person's driving in an erratic manner, and that mm-hmm. is a bit life-threatening, so to speak.
Yes, yes. So as I said, it can even fall under an action under POHA. Yeah, that's what happened to Sunny Tan too.
Mm-hmm. So if, for example, let's say somebody sped up and mm-hmm. let's say somebody cut somebody off and you didn't like it, and the guy sped up and flashes a digit at the individual by mm-hmm. taking that course of action, by speeding up, by driving erratically, by doing it in that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, there's an element of fear.
There is an element of fear, right? You're being
yes.
chased, that kind of thing.
Yes, that's right.
So if somebody does that, you can levy charges mm. against that individual.
Yes, you can.
Okay. Sorry to my ex-girlfriend. whom I told that story about yesterday on air. But this was 30 years ago. So it's fine. 20 years ago. Another WhatsApper says, this is interesting. I learned to be more patient on the road after watching lots of those YouTube videos about people fighting during road disputes. I've seen those. Have you seen that?
Mm. Yes.
The algorithm comes to you yep. and you see yeah. the disputes that can emerge. Some of them, many of them local as well. And even across the causeway or at the causeway as well, yeah. I've seen those types. That's a nice takeaway. Thank you for sharing that as well. Let's talk a little bit more about what is not to do when it comes to being on the roads. Turning our attention to a point of contact that's happening a lot now, Gloria, which is between cyclists and mm-hmm. between drivers. So one incident that came up in this Sunny Alor case was he proceeded to drive off while the other party physically blocked his car. And then many years ago, was it? Months ago, there was that cyclist that leapt onto the hood
yes.
of the car.
That's right.
Who was actually a member of the legal profession as well, if I recall correctly. Physically blocking another car, is that something that is illegal? Quote unquote illegal.
I mean, because, you see, the thing is when you're blocking the other person's car, I mean, you're blocking the car, you're actually blocking the vision, right? So you are causing some form of safety issue because you're endangering the life
right.
of the driver.
Right.
And also your own safety too is also being right. compromised.
Yeah. I think there was another case as well, and this was either at the Causeway or the Tuas checkpoint. Remember that?
Yeah. This woman came
out of the car. And she refused to, I think she stopped a car from moving so that her car could.
Yes.
I
think it's a cut queue kind
it's
of.
It's a cut queue, right? And she.
So she didn't just own self cut queue. She created an opening for somebody else to come in?
I think it was a family member who's driving that car. So she came out to prevent another car from moving so that car could come in, something like that, right?
Mm.
So when you do something and you lean against somebody else's car, that is chargeable as well? Is that a criminal offence?
Oh, yeah.
Because there's no damage to property by leaning, but...
But she's come out...
You have to, yes, yeah, but the fact that she came out and... She might have been gesturing or she might have been doing something. If you feel that there's an element of danger.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think there were two people then. Someone else as well came out. There were two of them out of the car.
I think it was she and her husband, if I'm not mistaken. Might have to watch the video again.
Can one not say that this, while there's no element of harm directly, it's creating a dangerous environment for me on the road. I'm scared. I don't know how to drive. I might hit you. Oh no, that kind of thing.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah, because you're causing the danger to someone else's safety. Mm. Yeah.
Please tell me this applies to people who choke parking lot by standing there. It doesn't.
I don't think so.
Because that should be because illegal.
I haven't seen that in Singapore.
It just happened to me like 2 months ago.
I've seen that in the USA.
Oh, it's happened a couple of times to me. Yes.
In Singapore.
Yes. I just wound down my window. I'm like, you can't actually tell me you're actually standing there trying to choke that place, are you?
And?
Really? I appealed to her sense of logic. And then she put her head down and walked away.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I was a bit too disdainful with that as well. Another listener saying, is road rage gender specific? Maybe we don't have the statistics of that, but I wonder whether it tends to be that case. I don't know whether we can say that specifically. I don't have any of the statistics. But maybe it would correlate to, are there more male drivers than female drivers? And by default, therefore, more people that engage in road rage would be male if there are more male drivers to begin with. It could be a numbers issue as well. But when it comes to these rage issues as well, have you noticed a pattern or a trend in terms of demographics, Gloria?
I would say most of the clients were male, maybe.
New drivers, older drivers, long-term drivers, fresh drivers?
No, all aspects. I can't pinpoint that it would happen to new drivers or probably someone who's very old. It can happen to anyone, because at that point in time, we don't know what triggered them, right? Mm. Yeah, what? It's not a defense, though.
Right.
You can't say that I'm a 20-year driver. I'm experienced. And I've never had a ticket in my life or something like that. Can I?
No. Okay. No, I can't say.
Okay. Here's another scenario as well. So you're driving right on the motorway, and a car comes really close to you. Okay, Gloria, really close, and starts honking and flashing and honking and flashing, and wants you to go away, but you can't because the other lane's also got a lot of traffic. Yes. Is that considered being a bit aggressive? Can you actually say that this person's endangering?
Correct, because
your life.
It has actually happened to. I was not the driver, but I was sitting next to my husband.
Right,
so he had to deal with it. Is it?
I know he had to deal with the driving, but I had to deal with the element of fear.
True,
right? Yeah, because as a passenger, I'm not sure how things are going to go, because what if the driver decides, you know, I have to make sure that my husband is not the one that is going to get angry for that particular moment. We felt as if we were tailgating, and then we tried to move from the fast lane to the middle lane, but we had a situation where we couldn't move to the second lane. And so what the guy did was try to move to the extreme left lane, found a way to come back behind us and started tailgating and honking at us. I knew he was gesturing. He knew he was trying to entice us to, take some action against him.
So what did you do? Did you just let it go? Did your husband let it go? Or did you say, look, this person needs to learn something here?
No. See, my husband was, you know, I could see the rage building. Yeah. And 100%. I had to control the situation because my safety is also important, right? Mm. And so I had to manage him, and I told him, look, you know, we have dash cam footage. If you're not happy, we could just use that footage and write to traffic police to tell them to investigate into this matter. And that calmed him down. Yeah.
Let's talk more. You can WhatsApp at 963-11938, or you can call us at 669-11938. Coming up, we'll be hearing from one of our listeners who sent in a voice note, and we'll be playing that out as we continue asking the question or chatting about disputes on the road. What not to do? Joining us is head lawyer Gloria James Civetta. it's interesting. We've covered many things like getting it out of the car in the middle of the road, whether you don't necessarily have to, whether you can intimidate someone to come out of the car, whether you flashing gesticulations or bad words, whether that is a legal issue as well. Let's see what Ken has to ask in his question that he WhatsApped across to us.
Good evening, Lance, Daniel and Gloria. My name is Ken. Just wanted to ask a question about dealing with our neighbours, Malaysian drivers. If there's an altercation, what is the legal recourse? What are our options available for us to claim against them if they are the supposed perpetrator?
Does it become more complicated when it's a cross-border issue because the driver is not based here, living here, it's a foreign car, things like that?
Yeah, because then you have the insurance element, right? Because we're not sure. If it crosses the line of a criminal action, we know the police is going to come in and deal with it. But if you're looking at damage to the vehicle and all that, we have to look at the insurance coverage. That will be a civil aspect.
Right. What if it becomes an altercation or a verbal dispute or a physical altercation or something on the side of the road with someone who is a foreign license holder?
Yeah, you can still be charged because the offence happened in Singapore, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Yes. What if it happens in Malaysia? So you lodge a complaint there. You go to the police station and you lodge a complaint there, yes?
Yes.
You don't lodge it here when you get back. Everything because that's where the offence...
Singapore police won't have jurisdiction.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Have you had cases like that before?
Yes, and you also have that, you know, that no man's land between Singapore and Malaysia, the causeway.
Where the woman cut queue, Anna.
Yes, sometimes if you have a no man's land situation, you don't know, you know, whether it's going to be Singapore or Malaysia's jurisdiction.
So then how is that resolved? Who takes accountability?
I had one matter where, you know, the police just basically gave warning because they can't prosecute. It was happened at no man's land.
That must feel... Yeah. Like a lack of justice in a way the person would feel.
Yes.
Thank you, Ken, for that WhatsApp voice. No, I hope that answered the question for you. Before we leave off, Gloria, it's so interesting to hear about all the various cases that you have worked on as well. I think so many of us are so cavalier about flinging words or casting aspersions when on the road as a pedestrian, as a cyclist, as a driver, whatever. When it boils down to it, do you think we need to be a little bit more aware that what we do on the road could become a legal issue when it comes to how we interact with other drivers, whether it's speeding up, whether it's shouting, gesturing, carrying scissors with you, all these kinds of things? You've charged so many of these cases.
Yeah. I mean, you would expect that there should be some level of awareness, you know, with all this public awareness and education going along. You might think that they'd be much better educated, but end of the day, you still have a rise in these cases that is happening on the road. Yeah. I was just thinking out loud, maybe one suggestion is probably have some QR code posted, you know, along the zebra crossing or some traffic post where people can be reminded of your duty.
We have to deal with things better. That seems to be a key takeaway. And also, apparently, make sure you have a good dash cam.
Yeah. Or just don't drive angry.
But somehow you get angry, you see. I'm emphasizing the point. Thank you to Gloria James Civetta from Gloria James Civetta Law Firm.